From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The film The Company Men tells the story of the lives beyond the layoff numbers. For many Americans, it will ring only too true. Guys with good jobs, suddenly with no jobs, and no idea how to handle it. Ben Affleck, Tommy Lee Jones, Chris Cooper, Craig T. Nelson, Maria Bello, and more, acting out a drama that many Americans have lived and still live in the years of the jobless economy. The bewilderment, the loss of pride, the scramble, it is wrenching. This hour On Point, we'll talk with writer and director of The Company Men, John Wells. You can join the conversation. Have you seen The Company Men? Is this your story? The shock, the tumble. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Here's just a little bit to give you a taste from The Company Men. Bobby Walker, played by Ben Affleck, is laid off from a well-paying job at a rapidly downsizing conglomerate. Here he is, a newbie out in the search for a new job. It is frustrating, really frustrating.
Looks like you worked at GTX for 12 years.
I did. Divisional sales leader for 3 of those years.
And no, times are different now, and I'd be willing to accept 110. Hope for bonuses.
Well, our base salary is $65,000 a year for regional sales directors.
I responded to an ad for the vice president of marketing.
Well, we've had a number of highly qualified applicants for that position.
I'm a highly qualified applicant for that position. I'm a highly qualified applicant for that position. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Must have just had too many cups of coffee while I was sitting in your waiting room for 2 hours.
Ben Affleck as Bobby Walker in The Company Men. Big house, big paycheck, and suddenly it's all gone. This is a road that many, many Americans have walked in the last few years. Joining me now from Los Angeles is The Company Men's writer and director, John Wells. He was executive producer for all 15 seasons of ER and had a big role in The West Wing, China Beach, Third Watch. He's currently executive producer of the TMT crime drama Southland and the Showtime series Shameless. He's also president of the Writers Guild of America West. John Wells, welcome to On Point.
Thank you for having me.
You're a brave guy to go out and round up this great crew and point them at what an awful lot of Americans have been living. But we thought Hollywood would like to talk about, you know, I'm in the money stuff. Good times roll.
You know, I think there's a long tradition in cinema of actually taking on contemporary issues. We don't do it as often as I would like to see us doing it in Hollywood, but it's important. And this is something, as you indicated earlier, is happening to tens of millions of families. And I think people really want to see their stories told.
You've got such an incredible resume from television and a lot of producing in the movie world as well. When you came to this reality of Americans being laid off and, you know, suddenly just tumbling through space, is it the same formula just applied to a new subject, or is there something different here?
Well, it's very different from episodic television in that what we're trying to do is tell the story of a few men that and do it in a very specific fashion over a couple of hours where you see the journey that they take. The story for this actually came originally from it's not his story, but it was inspired by something that happened to my brother-in-law. And he started telling me about what he was going through, and I became interested in it. It was a world I didn't know much about, and went online, went to a number of the downsizing and unemployment websites and posted a little piece that said I was a writer and interested in maybe writing about it if you had little anecdotes or something you wanted to tell me, and had a couple of thousand responses in the first week. And they were very moving. I was really touched by the integrity and self-deprecation, the humor and emotion that was in those stories. And I felt it was something that was very dramatic that needed to be told.
Tell us the story here of The Company Men, the setting, what happens in broad stroke, what goes on in this film, John?
I was trying to get at the group of men and what happens to them in the year after they're let go. But it's also about the decline in American manufacturing and fabrication and heavy industry in this country and how we've lost contact with what we used to do, probably forever. And I lament it a bit, although I don't think there's any way to stand against those forces in the global economy. But it's an attempt to show what really happens, the small drama and tragedy that a lot of families are going through. And I used a number of different people's stories that they told me, to try and tell that story.
You've got an incredible cast here. Ben Affleck, Tommy Lee Jones, Chris Cooper, Maria Bello, Craig T. Nelson. Right on down, Kevin Costner's in here. Tell us about the roles of each of them. What do they play? It'll give us a sense of what goes on in the film.
Yeah, I was trying to get at a number of different things. The Bobby Walker character that Ben Affleck plays and Rosemary DeWitt plays his wife is a well-educated mid-level executive at a major manufacturing company. It's a conglomerate that has a number of different interests. And as that company comes under a lot of financial pressure during the economic slowdown in 2008, during the beginning of the recession, he is one of the first wave of 5,000 or 6,000 workers who are let go from the company. And then it also follows Chris Cooper's character, who's an older worker at the company who manages to survive that first round but ultimately doesn't survive the next round. Tommy Lee Jones plays one of the co-founders of the company who, with his partner Craig T. Nelson, who's now the CEO, are in a debate over about how to manage their need to reduce their costs in a down economy. And whether that should be done through other means than simply firing their workers. Maria Bello plays the human resources executive who's responsible for all the for actually having to decide who's going during the downsizing. And Kevin Costner plays Bobby, Ben Affleck's brother-in-law, who's a carpenter and a contractor who eventually comes to his brother-in-law's aid.
I came in a little wary, thinking, oh, boy, we've just lived through years of this, and now here it is in condensed form, you know, all in a Hollywood package. But you can't take your eyes off of this. I mean, if you've got a scintilla of human empathy or fear that it might be your own fate or experience that you've lived it, this is absolutely riveting stuff. Here's a scene where Gene, the boss at the shipbuilding company, played by Tommy Lee Jones, is given a list of people, this is by attorneys, I guess, that GTX, the company, plan to fire.
The list is still preliminary, Gene.
I'm looking, and all I see are people who are over 50 with enough young ones thrown in to protect us against litigation.
No, I'm confident that all of these dismissals will stand up to outside legal scrutiny.
What about ethical scrutiny?
We're not breaking any laws, Gene.
I guess I always assumed we were trying for a higher standard than that.
A higher standard for that, maybe Tommy Lee Jones is searching for, but boy, those standards fly away in a hurry. And before it's over, early on, it's not just over 50 people. They're laying people off right and left. I thought you really captured, I mean, when the decision is made on high and it comes down, it just comes down like a razor, John. And you capture that right here. There's no mercy. This is about out, 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 out you go.
Yeah, and I heard that over and over again. I interviewed a number of CEOs and human resource executives, and I had written an early draft of the piece in which it was just a bit of a corporate screed where I was complaining against what was happening in the workforce. And I thought that wasn't actually an accurate reflection. I hadn't talked to enough people who were on the other side of it. And the Tommy Lee Jones character came from a number of those conversations where I found a number of senior executives who were really torn over what to do about that they were still doing well and the people that they'd worked with, that they'd brought up, the company that they thought they're forming was being pulled apart by these economic forces. And I tried to get that across. But I sat in on a number of different human resource meetings, and boy, it was straight down the list. We need another 5. Where are we going to find another 50? You need another 25 from your department. Just take them.
And once they're out there in that cold, cruel world, the advice is pretty cold and cruel as well. Here's a little bit where Chris Cooper, who plays Phil Woodward in The Company Men, he worked his way up from the factory floor, nice house, all the rest, boom, laid off, and he's out at the company provided reemployment counseling. And the counselor is right away going at the very resume that he's been so proud of, kind of taking it apart.
Your resume is very impressive, Phil.
Thank you.
You started on the factory floor. Not many people can claim that anymore. You want to get rid of all the ancient stuff, anything pre-90s. Instead of listing the number of years you held each position at GTX, indicate your title and responsibilities.
And here, where you've noted your military service, don't say Vietnam. Combat infantryman is impressive enough. You smoke, Phil?
Oh, occasionally.
Quit. Employers don't want employee health problems ratcheting up their insurance premiums, Phil. You may want to think about dyeing your hair, get rid of some of that gray.
Oh, boy. It's tough. The career he's so proud of, ancient stuff, get rid of it. Military service, don't say Vietnam. Get the gray out of your hair, and good luck to you, mister. Is it just as blunt as that?
Yeah, it is. And I witnessed quite a bit of it, and I spoke to a number of the people who do it. And a number of people have come and seen the film who are in outplacement services and employment counseling, and they've said that's exactly what they have to do. One of the women who I said, you know, how isn't this difficult for you to do? Don't you find it very hard? Said, no, actually, I think of myself as a physical therapist who comes into your hospital room after a major surgery. You're in the bed. You don't want to get up. I have to slap you around, get you up, and get you to start walking and be realistic about what's going to happen to you next. The real tragedy, I think, in this recession, this very deep recession that we're in, is the large number of older workers who are really taking it in the neck and are going to have the most difficulty recovering in this economy. And we're not really having a conversation about that. There are lots of, you know, millions of people who are taking jobs underemployed where they're making substantially less than what they're making and also using far fewer of their skills, who are just going to try and figure out some way to get to retirement age for Social Security, hope that whatever's left in the 401k improves enough to get them through their retirement into old age. Something we're going to be confronting and talking about a lot over the next couple of decades, I believe.
And trying to do that with a little pride, keep a little self-esteem intact as they head off in that direction. John Wells is with us. He's writer and director of the new film, The Company Men. It stars Ben Affleck, Tommy Lee Jones, Chris Cooper, Kevin Costner, and more. You can join the conversation this hour. Have you seen it? John Wells' Hollywood portrayal of life when the axe comes down. Have you lived it? Is this your life? The shock, the denial, the scramble, the rage, the despair. We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back with much more. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about life in the time of layoffs with John Wells, longtime executive producer of ER, West Wing, now writer and director of The Company Men, with Ben Affleck, Tommy Lee Jones, Chris Cooper, Kevin Costner, Craig T. Nelson, Maria Bello. Great cast on a very tough and, for many Americans, very real part of life in this jobless economy, so many have come to know. If you've seen the movie, if you've lived this life, you can join us this hour. You can join us in any case. What do you think? If you've seen it, does Wells get it? Does he nail it with The Company Men? And when you see Ben Affleck, Chris Cooper, Tommy Lee Jones struggling, is that, has that been you, your company, your life? Tommy Lee Jones plays Gene McClary, co-founder of GTX Shipbuilding Company, dismayed by the direction the company has taken, what he's being asked to do in terms of bringing down the layoff axe. In this scene, he talks to a young Bobby, Ben Affleck, about the company's beginning as a shipbuilding outfit.
2,000 men a shift, 3 shifts a day, 6,000 men. Earned an honest wage in that room. Fed their kids, bought homes. Made enough to send their kids to college. Buy a second car. Building something they could see. Not just figures on a balance sheet, but a ship. They could see, smell, touch. Those men knew their worth. They knew who they were.
They knew who they were, but that was then in The Company Men. The situation now, layoffs all over the place. Rosemarie DeWitt plays Bobby's wife, Ben Affleck's Maggie. In this scene, she's trying to comfort him. He's crushed at not being able to find a new job. He says, I am a loser.
You want to understand, Maggie? I'm a 37-year-old unemployed loser who can't support his family.
Okay, look, you are going to find a job working for people who know how lucky they are to have you. You have Drew and Carson, your parents, and me. Okay, you have me.
Family becomes very important in this film, but it's not easy. John Wells, writer-director of The Company Men, joins us from Los Angeles. And John, we've got a lot of listeners responding to what you have on the big screen right now. Let's bring them in. Columbia, Tennessee. Jim, thank you for calling. Jim, you're on the air with John Wells. Hello, Jim. Oh, we're losing your cell phone. Let's get another right here from Harrisonburg, Virginia. Gene, thank you for calling. You're on.
Hi, Tom. Mr. Wells, thank you for making this movie. I really appreciate it. It doesn't surprise me at all that you had so many people responding when you put a call out for stories, and because we really are legion out here. I'm 56 years old. I took it in the neck. I took it in the head, and I took it in the heart. I've lost my business, my livelihood, my way of life, really. And I don't think a lot of people know how bad it truly is out here. I have friends in Seattle, friends in Alaska, friends in D.C. They don't really know how bad it is. I live in the Shenandoah Valley, and I know so many people who have just lost everything. And, you know, the politicians saying that the recession was over, I mean, that's just a big joke out here. Everybody laughs at that because we know that that's not the truth. The jobs haven't come back. They're not here. You can't even get jobs at McDonald's. You know, you can't even get entry-level $8-an-hour jobs at a McDonald's in this town. And it's just so bad, and I don't want to politicize it, but in my case, the influx of immigrants into this area, illegal immigrants into this area, had such a profound impact on my pain business that I was eventually just had to fold. And not a month goes by I don't get a call from somebody my age in the pain business or in the construction business looking for work still. And so the point being that I haven't heard one politician mention anything about the amount of jobs that have been taken up by illegal immigrants, and that those are jobs that legal people could be taking, legal immigrants and Americans.
Gene, I appreciate your call, and we hear it. We hear it loud and clear, Gene, taking it in the neck, the head, and the heart, as you describe it there, and I'll come to that with John Wells. So many callers. You want to get one more right here, then we'll come to it, Gene. We will. Nashville, Tennessee. Nathan, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Pretty well. What do you know, Nathan?
Well, I just, that last clip, even as I was calling in, where he tells his wife, you know, I'm a 37-year-old loser. Man, I've said that to my wife. I'm 37 years old. I've been unemployed for about 4 months. And, you know, she's just been everything. She's been absolutely everything to me, pulling me out of the really, you know, dark night of despair. And, you know, my story is a little different. I actually had to leave my company because of what I thought was unethical behavior. And so, you know, however you arrive at it, whether you had to leave or they let you go, man, it's a hard, hard place out there right now. I'm on the interstate driving to an interview that I hope might pan out, but it's just hard. And I just, that comment really resonated with me about how the wife was helping him.
Nathan, I appreciate your call. Who can't relate to that? Here's a little bit more where Ben Affleck's character Bobby tries to apologize to his wife Maggie for the way things have gone. Of course, he's around more now. She acknowledges that.
I'm sorry, Maggie.
For what?
For everything. To let you down.
You haven't let me down.
Yeah. I did.
You were never here before. And now you are.
That's some consolation, but it doesn't pay the bills. John, the phones light up right away on this, and you hear people's stories, you know, and they say Ben Bernanke may be talking about the recession, you know, ending, Ben Bernanke and others, though even he says it's going to take a long time for unemployment to come back down, and this reality has not gone away for an awful lot of people, John.
Yeah, I think that's the case. And also what I heard over and over again from the people that I spoke to who are going through it is they were really surprised by how much their families came through for them, how the community around them is what supported them and got them through it or kept them buoyed. But, you know, we have these conversations about what the technical definition of the end of a recession is for economists, but that has very little to do with all the people who are out in the economy who are being pulled down by all these forces that we have very little control over, the globalization forces, the lack of jobs that are really available. There's a lot of lip service given to it, but when we have these huge corporate earnings reports and companies still not hiring because they want to be safe and make sure they have enough money in the bank and these huge payments going to corporate executives, I think it's showing a lack of sensitivity to what's really happening in the country and the people who built these companies. I think a lot of executives have lost track of who it is that actually make these companies. The companies are not the executives at the top. It's all the people who work to make the company successful. And we don't have a we seem to have gotten away from this notion that the employer was going to be responsible for the employees in some ways, that the employee looked to the company to actually look out for their interests as part of their involvement in the company, and that loyalty is not being rewarded in this economy.
You know, in the film, The Company Men, there's a lot of rough stuff compellingly portrayed, I have to say, but the feel-good element is this families and friends rallying around ultimately. But as you did your background for this, I mean, you've done ER, you've done West Wing, you've done a lot of real-world-oriented dramas. You know, is that really out there? Is that community there for people? So many people now work so many hours, they don't have a lot of time to focus on much other than work when they do have a job. Do they really have community and to fall back on when the axe comes down?
I think you have to create it if you don't have it. You know, I think over and over again I heard from the people that I spoke to, from the men that I spoke to, how important their wives and children and families were to kind of moving them through this. And those people who didn't have as much of it need to start looking for people to help them. They are out there. It's really the only alternative that you have to get through it. You have to fall back on everyone you know, anybody you've ever spoken to, and see. You don't know where that next opportunity will come from. There, lots of people who are out on the highway, as that gentleman said earlier. You know, out looking for jobs, and it can take months and months and months. There are people who it's taking years. And you just have to stay after it. And that the strength to do that comes from the people around you continuing to believe in you. And you've got to kind of create that community if you don't have it. There are resources out there to try and find it, churches and groups, other groups of people who are looking. And I really would encourage everybody who's out there to take advantage of those things.
Encouragement becomes really important because it is tough. You portrayed it, but it's true. Judith in West Hartford, Connecticut. Judith, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What's your story, Judith?
Well, we just found out this week that my husband, who was an area vice president, just lost, is being let go after 26 years.
Wow. I'm sorry.
And it just breaks your heart. And I was saying I'm not sure I could see this. I don't think we could go see this movie just because it's just too real. I don't know what we're going to, you know, we're here in Connecticut. We got relocated to Connecticut 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We're originally from Michigan, where all our support is. You were just talking about a support system.
Yes.
Our whole support system is back in Michigan, which is in even worse shape than Connecticut.
How are you dealing with it? How's your husband dealing with it so far, Judith? It's just been a week.
Yeah. Well, truth is, we got an inkling of it, that it was going to be happening. We just couldn't believe it. But then it came, the announcement came this week. I try to say, like, well, let's sell everything and reinvent ourselves, and really forgetting that, you know, he sort of got kicked out of a tribe. He got kicked off the island, so he's really hurting. He feels like he got, it's very hard. So I've kind of backed off, and I'm allowing him to sort of explore for himself what's out there. So I think it's important for him, for his value, to try and find something else.
No kidding. And if John Wells has it right in The Company Men, or the many other stories we've heard over the years here, it doesn't all sink in a few days or a week. It really takes time. Judith, we wish you very good luck with all of that. Hopefully, you know, a job, and soon for your husband, for you maybe, but good luck with that.
If I could comment for just a second, Tom, mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that happens, and no matter that you know that it's not your fault and that it has had nothing to do with you, that it's just an economic decision, we all tend to blame ourselves when these things happen and feel guilt and try to figure out what it is we did wrong. The truth in this economy is, very, very often there is absolutely no reason why you've lost your job other than the economic expediency or necessity of the company. And so that's part of what's very difficult, I think, in the early days with all the men that I spoke to about it.
Here's a scene from a Thanksgiving dinner in The Company Men. Bobby, played by Ben Affleck, tries to kind of hide the fact that he's lost his job initially, but then here he is at Thanksgiving. His brother-in-law, Jack Carpenter, who gives him some work for a while, played by Kevin Costner, he's needling Bobby about his former CEO.
You know, I was reading about your guy, Salinger, in the Globe the other day.
Do you read now?
Good.
Good for Smallwoods.
Said he made 700 times what the average GTX worker made last year. What do you think? Salinger working 700 times harder than the welder pounding hot rivets into a tanker hole all day?
Why don't we say grace so the kids can stop?
Okay. Carson, would you do the honors?
Dear God, thank you for the food and for letting us be together on Thanksgiving and for everybody being okay. And please help my dad find a job so he won't be unhappy all the time. Amen.
Okay.
Kevin Costner, Ben Affleck, and the family there in John Wells' The Company Men. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Boy, at the Thanksgiving table, and it gets tough. Nathan in Nashville, Tennessee, is calling. Hi, Nathan. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom. Sorry about that. I got cut off.
Oh, we lost your cell phone earlier. Great to have you back, Nathan. What's your story?
Well, I was just telling how important my wife and community has been. Just as he said, you know, my faith, the people that have come around me, Tom, has been unbelievable. I mean, you know, guys are paying me $100 to rake leaves. You know, I'm cutting down trees and doing painting jobs that I'm sure they don't actually need it painted.
What's your situation, Nathan? Have you lost a job? For how long? How old are you?
Yeah, I've been out. I'm 37. I've got three children. I've been out of work for about 4 months now, almost five. And we had the joy of learning over December we were going to be pregnant, and then we lost our baby about 3 weeks ago. And so, it's just an amazingly hard time out here right now. But there is hope, you know, there is hope. And my story is I'm in good company. And there are real people that are really hurting, and they're worse off than I am. But I've seen community come together. I've seen family come together in a way that, you know, I don't know that I'd ever seen it if I hadn't been in this situation. I think we'd have just all gone along thinking we were fine and getting out of everybody's business. And I've had men step into my life in a way that has really changed me. And I'm not going to say that this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I don't want to go through it. But I'm a man of faith, and the Lord has used this in my life in an amazing way.
Nathan, I appreciate your call and wish you very good luck. Stay in that community or keep a community around you, and good luck with finding that job. Thank you so much for calling. John Wells, you hear these stories coming in. Here's a comment from Christina on Facebook. She says, haven't seen it yet, The Company Men, but it looks like this film might hit a little too close to home for myself and perhaps a lot of others. What about that, John? Did you worry about that in putting it out there?
We did worry about it, and one of the interesting things that happened is we tested the film, showed it to audiences, and began doing Q&As and asking people what we thought, is that the strongest response of people who said that they were happy they'd seen it were the people who are actually going through it. There's this sense when you're going through it, I think, that you feel alone and that a lot of what you're going through is specific to you, the feelings that you have. One man got up at one of the screenings when we asked, you know, what do you like the most about the film? And you sort of usually hear, oh, I like this scene, or I thought that joke was funny, or I like this character. And he got up and I said, I like the fact that I didn't feel alone. I thought I was alone going through this until now. So it's been quite the opposite. The film does try to be hopeful about the resiliency in the American character and how we do in these difficult times come together and find family and find a way to the other end. It's not easy, and what people are going through, what families are going through, is extremely difficult. But the film's trying to celebrate the fact that we are stronger many times than we think we are, and that we are going to survive. The country will survive, people will survive, but there's going to be there's a lot of pain that's involved with it.
John Wells is writer and director of the new film The Company Men. Stars Ben Affleck, Tommy Lee Jones, Chris Cooper, Kevin Costner, Craig T. Nelson, Maria Bello's in there. The story of big layoffs, all of a sudden, a lot of people thrown out on the kind of seas many Americans have known in these recent years. You can join the conversation this hour. What's it like out there now on the job front? Is it better? Do you feel encouraged? Do you feel forgotten? 800-423-8255 is our number. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about life and the time of layoffs with John Wells, longtime producer with ER, The West Wing, China Beach, Third Watch. His new film is The Company Men. Ensemble cast, pretty great one. Tommy Lee Jones and Kevin Costner, Ben Affleck right out front, Chris Cooper in there, and more about layoffs, sudden layoffs, and the scramble that follows at one company in the American years of the jobless economy. You can join the conversation this hour. Tell us your pink slip story, the worst day, the comeback. Have you found a comeback? We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. John, here's a Facebook or a website comment from Earl. And he says, you know, this is an interesting topic for many white Americans. He writes, as an older African American, I have witnessed as well as researched these stories for generations as I explored the lives of African Americans. He writes, America could have learned a great lesson if they had earnestly cared about what was happening to their darker brother over all that time. And we've got a caller maybe on that front as well here. Let's see if we can go to Janice in Providence, Rhode Island. Janice, thank you very much for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Well, I agree with what the Facebook contributor said, and with all due respect to Mr. Wells and the people who have suffered from losing their jobs, I think it is irresponsible of this film to purport to tell the story of Americans in the economic downturn when that story is being told solely as the story of four or five middle-aged white men who had been fairly securely in the middle-class economy to begin with. Other people, African Americans, women of all colors, have for many years experienced being shut out of markets, told that it was our fault when in fact it was structural reasons. And it's the white men, middle class, who have been able to ride on the privilege that they enjoy in the job market who now seem stunned that they are now experiencing some of what the rest of us have been experiencing. And just to show you as an example of business as usual in the job market, I note that this film employs as actors some of our most fabulous men actors, I think six or seven of them, and one or two women.
Well, it happens to be about men, but let's go to that choice and to the social class that John focuses on. I appreciate your call very much, Janice. What about it, John? Here you go. Here's your big effort on this subject, and you bring all your love to white middle-class guys. I mean, middle-class doesn't even really describe it. The houses they live in at the beginning of this film are, you know, all the way from super McMansions to genuine mansions. These are, I don't know, $1, $2, $3, $15 million homes that they're suddenly in trouble in. What about the sort of race and gender critique that Earl and Janice bring to this? Why did you choose to go for upper middle-class, even rich guys and white guys and men in this portrayal?
You know, that's a very fair criticism, and it's exactly the reason why I chose to do it, actually. This is a group of people who have felt themselves immune from it for all these years. The working class, blue-collar workers, women have been experiencing this for a couple of decades. What's been unique about this and other films have been done about it. What's unique about this recession is that all of the men who felt that they were privileged and were above it and had been making these decisions rather blithely about others for all these years are actually now caught up in it. And that interested me. That fascinated me that here was a group of people who are privileged, who see themselves as above these experiences, and we watch them get their comeuppance. And a lot of the film is about that. I think you begin not feeling particularly sympathetic towards the Ben Affleck character or towards the Tommy Lee Jones character, certainly not towards the Craig T. Nelson character. And the film is trying to say, all right, here's the Schadenfreude that they may well be deserving of, but we still need to find empathy for everyone who's caught up in these economic maelstrom. So I completely accept the criticism, but I found in my research the thing that interested me was that these men who were so blithely unaware of what was happening to others around them, felt themselves above it, actually find themselves now in this economy completely caught up in it.
I'm not sure that's going to satisfy Janice. But let me ask you this. You've written about a lot of serious material in West Wing and beyond. I mean, do you think, outside the film, step off the screen with us for a second here, does the experience that so many have gone through, and many of them in this recession, very much including, as you say, you know, white middle-class guys, getting to know what Earl and Janice are pointing out, an experience that people of color and women may have known in greater percentages for a long time, is it going to leave that population that you're focused on more sympathetic if and when we get out of this ditch? Or are we all just back in the musical chairs game, you know, back in it, make the money and go? Does the compassion last, the empathy that they learn here?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I don't think we know that yet, and we'll have to wait and see over time. I think that the damage that's done by this recession is going to be so pervasive that it's likely to last for a very long time. My parents were children of the Depression, and they made their decisions based on those experiences they had as kids. And my generation, I'm in my 50s, and the generations that are younger than I am have never had this experience before, have never actually thought that this sense of entitlement that many of us have had would be challenged anyway during our lifetimes. So I think the whole society is going to change on the basis of what's happened. I don't think we'll go right back to it. And at the same time, it's yet to be discovered whether or not that's going to make a change. I certainly hope that at some point the senior executives in a lot of these in a lot of the corporations, our business leaders, start to take on more responsibility for their workers and for the workplace, the entire workplace, whether that be the white men who are well educated, whether that be women in the workplace or African Americans, anyone else who's involved in it. We've lost our sense of empathy, and we've lost our sense of responsibility towards the workers, towards the people who are working with us over the last couple of decades.
Here's a scene in The Company Men where the Chris Cooper character tells Tommy Lee Jones' character about what it felt like to lose his job.
You know the worst part? The world didn't stop. And newspapers still came every morning. The automatic sprinkler shut off at 6. And Jeff, next door, still washed his car every Sunday. My life ended, and, you know, nobody noticed.
The world went on. Scott in Ridgefield, Connecticut is on the line. Hi, Scott. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Mr. Wells, look forward to your film. My story, real briefly, used to making $1.5 million a year. And
as in 150,000, I guess, Scott.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I left that job in 2001 to pursue a business which was growing, doubling every year. Looked like we were going to get really rich. I took my nest egg and even borrowed money. And then in 2007, I saw the economy starting to turn. It ended up with some other factors, buried my business, and then I went into the consulting realm as an IT consultant, which is what I did, you know, years before. And after a year, I was put out to pasture because the economy had tanked and all, a lot of these IT projects had canceled. One of the things I wanted to make a point about was that, first of all, I think the language we're using about this is problematic because I don't believe this is a recession. I believe it's a depression. I know people throughout Fairfield County, Connecticut. I lived in California for 10 years. I have family in various parts of the country. So the way it's being spun by the media, and it's kind of like when Bush was talking about, you know, the war on terror and, you know, how silly that language was, because how do you fight a concept, right? So the thing is, this isn't really a full-blown depression in my view. I went through 99 weeks of unemployment. Now, keep in mind, prior to this, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I was never out of work more than like a couple of weeks.
And then went to $150,000 a year. What's your income now, Scott, if I may ask?
Zero. I mean, I'm doing a little bit of, you know, some freelance work. I was looking at trying to become a high school teacher. I'm good at math. And so they said, we always need good math teachers and all of that. rhetoric, and I go through the program and find out that there's actually plenty of math teachers, and no one's looking for math teachers. And besides the fact that it pays about a third of what I used to make, I mean, we've already scaled down from the house and the BMW to a condo and a Hyundai. Luckily, thank God, my wife works, and she has an okay job that gives us health benefits. But I'm basically the money that I borrowed on my business. I'm going to have to go bankrupt. That's $80,000 that I'll never be able to come up with in these conditions.
Scott, headlines today is jobless claims hit 2.5-year low. People are saying, hey, we're pulling out of this. Not a depression, but a comeback.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I don't see it. I mean, I don't know anyone. Maybe I know one person who's gotten a job. I think that's just spin. I really don't see it in Fairfield County. I don't see it in my friends out in the West Coast.
Scott, we wish you good luck. You know, we really do. We really do. I want to get one more right here. Victoria, Virginia, Alan. You're on the air, Alan.
How you doing, sir?
Pretty well. What's your story?
My story's not that quite high in the number figure, but if I was combined, if my wife and I was to touch $50,000, that would have been great. But I was forced to take a job and still working there for $8 an hour. And I had to do it because I had a year and a half unemployment. It ran out. And I made the mistake of collecting a little bit while I was making that $8 an hour. And just to sustain, I had no other choice. My house is a $70,000 house, but I still have bills and all of that.
Yep.
And, thank God for my wife. But they finally called up with me. I got the phone call, as a matter of fact, yesterday. I owe them $3,300, and they won it. Get in line. Of course, I'm going to have to ring something to pay them back to keep me from getting locked up. But, what I wanted to say was these people on employment, you got to work your local employment commission. I mean, if you're down to nothing, they will have something for you. It helped me out. And it's a medial job, but it is a job,
Ellen, I appreciate your call. $8 an hour, it's not going to be easy to pay that bill that's come due. But we wish you luck with it. You hang in there. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. John, you're listening. This is kind of testifying going on here from the field, directly in response to what you're putting out there. And the blows that people take, and you can hear as they share with us the way they're trying to figure out where to find their footing, how to look at this in a way every day to stay, to stay up, to stay encouraged, to keep at it. Even when you get that job that's $8 an hour and the bills are due and it doesn't cover it, it is not easy to keep body and soul together here.
Yeah, no, this is the most difficult economy that we've seen in, 60, 70 years. And that's what people are really experiencing. One of the things that happens when we show the film is, interestingly, is not unlike what's happening today with the people who call in, is I find people in the lobby who want to talk about it. People are standing out front having coffee, want to tell me their stories. But that is part of this thing when we're talking about it being communal. There is a value to having conversations. There's a value to arguing about it, to what the woman who called in, Janice. Let's argue about these things, because there's this attempt, I think, to not discuss just how difficult this is for so many people in this country and to put kind of a rosier spin on what's really going on. And that's the political conversation that we have to have, in my estimation. There are a lot of people who need a lot of help, and we're going to have to figure out some way to do it.
You've talked about how the economy is changing fundamentally, that from your background in television, I mean, that's a world where you don't get one job and stick with it for years or decades. We are always kind of scrambling from one thing to the next. If that's the way for this country and our economy, what does that mean for people? Can ordinary Americans deal with that? Are they dealing with it already, John?
Well, I think people are being forced to deal with it, and we can deal with it, but it means you structure your life very differently. You assume that you're going to be out of work, and that's what happens in our industry. Everyone's freelance, and so you're constantly trying to figure out where your next job will be, and it means that you live differently. It means that you live with a year or 2 years' worth of money in the bank. Anytime you get a job, you don't spend, and it's one of the great dichotomies in the messages we're being told in the economy, is that we have to save money, and everybody's pulling in their belts and doing things differently, and yet at the same time, the economy's not going to fully recover unless we go out and spend money. I'm not exactly quite sure how those two how those two things are going to coexist for the short term, which is why I think, you know, Ben Bernanke is saying it's going to take a long time for this to economy to begin to recover in some new fashion.
A year or two of income in the bank to cover the TV worker style life. I mean, that may be possible if you're, you know, a big shot with the West Wing. But for a lot of people to put that away is no easy deal. I mean, can you really do it? You're in a different world from our caller on $8 an hour.
Yeah, it's very tough on $8 an hour. You're not going to be able to do that. And so you're just going hand to mouth. There's no question about it. I think what I was trying to refer to is there was this great optimism in the economy for a long time. People, you know, were constantly buying up in their houses and we were overextended on credit. And all of that has to end and is ending. People are pulling back and spending differently and are trying to, as best they can, fight their way back to a world in which you you have a little bit more security. And that's why I refer to kind of the Depression era that my parents came out of. They never lived beyond their means. They were completely unwilling to, because they knew, because they'd experienced it, what can happen when we do. And as a nation, I think we were living way beyond our means.
Everybody trying to find their way. Here's Ben Affleck with Kevin Costner. Affleck takes a job for the brother-in-law, who he doesn't like that much, who's a carpenter. He's hauling drywall around, and then he gets a call. Here's their exchange.
Got a call from a guy today.
Used to work for him. Offered me a job.
Yeah, decent pay.
80.
1,000?
Yeah. It's half what I used to make. World's a place.
Actually, I was thinking about staying on with you, Jack. My old job, I was scared all the time. Quarterly cost reports, young guys coming up, losing an account, who's getting ahead of me.
Can I be honest with you, Bobby?
Yeah.
You should take that job. You're a terrible carpenter.
He's a terrible carpenter. 80. Hordes of Americans would be happy for that right now, but the big irony, John Wells, it's half of what he used to make. A whole lot in flux here. A whole lot in flux. John Wells,
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely right. you show it well. It's a really compelling portrait, a great ensemble you put together, and quite a film. I hope people will have the courage to go out and see it. It takes you to a place where a lot of Americans have been, and it tells you a lot, no matter what your experience has been. John Wells, writer and director of The Company Men. Thank you for joining us, John.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.